tired of going through life, just surviving? Along my journey in life, I have found some universal principles that unlocked my untapped potential. Follow me as I delve into those principles and the secrets other successful individuals have been using to thrive in life and unleash the legend within them. This is the Legend of You podcast. I am your host, Mr. Tenacity. Welcome to the Legend of You podcast, where we talk about how to stop surviving and begin thriving in life through unleashing the legend within. Today, I have a real treat for you guys. Frank Kitchen is taking some time out of his life. He is a speaker, a keynote speaker, but he does it in a very motivational way. I'm really excited about what he has to offer, and I know that he's going to add value to each and every listener's life. So, Frank, how you doing, my man?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chad. Great to be here this morning. So let's have some fun.
Yeah, man. I love it. So tell everybody a little bit about who Frank is and how you got to be a speaker and, you know, that being your passion.
Yeah, no problem. I am a husband, a father, and then I'll tell people keynote speaker, but I'm known as the Mindset Master Chef. And quite simply, I tell people I work with organizations or even speakers who want to break through their mental barriers to cook up the professional dreams they hunger for. So the short story for me is, and we'll go deeper as we go into interview, was I had this professional speaking dream. I had been thinking about it for years. I've been talking about it, but I wasn't putting in the work to make it happen. And I went into my employer on Father's Day 7 years ago, and I thought I was going in for a promotion, for a raise. And, you know, they bought me lunch. And right when lunch came across the table, this folder came across too, and it goes, hey, you know, this isn't working. This is going to be your last day. So I got fired on Father's Day. My wife was two and a half months. She was 6.5 months pregnant. So our child was 2.5 months away. Son was 2 years old. And then we had a trip that weekend planned to go see her parents. So I got to go walk into my father-in-law's house on Father's Day weekend and go, hey, I've got no job. Your third grandchild's on the way. I want to be a professional speaker. I mean, and that's how it all started. So from that point, I went from, you know, no job, no money, kids on the way to a few weeks ago, I just got recognized as one of the top professional speakers in the world. So I put my mindset to it, like you talk about, and I went from fired to being recognized as one of the top speakers in the world.
Dude, that's amazing. That really is an amazing story. So let me ask you this. How did you muster up the courage, the tenacity to not allow that circumstance to dictate your future?
I mean, at that point there was, you know, when you're taking care of yourself, you know, you're not as motivated when you've got other people relying on you. So I'm like, I got my wife looking at me. I've got my son looking at me. I know I've got a daughter on the way looking at me. And it's like, you know, so I couldn't let them down. So people are always like, hey, what's the plan that you put together? I'm just going, like my wife says, like, we don't want to live under a bridge. And to be honest, I don't want to live with my in-laws. I mean, that was the deal. Like, so what are we going to do to make this happen? But more importantly, I had to think about, you know, who are the people I was surrounding myself with and what are the environments I was putting myself in. And for the longest time, you know, I'll be honest, in this podcast, I was putting myself around weak-minded people. So I was getting weak results. But that trip to New Mexico, as we were driving and figuring out, okay, are we going to lie to my father-in-law? Are we going to tell him the truth? Was I reached out to the friends, and there's just no shame at this point. I sort of like, hey, I got fired. I need to work. And the funny thing was, all my friends in my network, they didn't like put me down. They started saying, okay, here's what you have to do. And even until my father-in-law, he goes, okay, well, what are you going to do? And I actually had signed up for a speaker showcase in his town that weekend. So my wife said the scariest words anybody could say to you was, she goes, take my dad with you. So now I got to go to the showcase. I got my father-in-law in the back, and he's known me now for about 8-9 years, but he has never seen me speak in person. And at the end of that speech, he pretty much goes, hey, this is what you're born to do. What can I do to support you? Mm. And so having that backing from family and friends, I mean, that was the big push to go through, was recognizing, okay, I'm not in this by myself. I've got, you know, people who got my back.
Man, I love that. And I think that you hit the nail on the head when you talked about when you have somebody else that is relying on you. There's something about, we will put ourselves through a lot of pain, but once it's somebody else on the line, we're like, no, I'll get up, I'll do something. I don't know what the psychology behind that is, but it is so, so very real. And I always tell people to make sure that your purpose or your why is bigger than you.
Yep.
Otherwise, you'll quit.
Yeah. I mean, I share with people on stage, I was like, the emotion of the result has to be stronger than the emotion of the work. Mm. the idea is when I was just trying to do it for myself, wasn't married, didn't have any kids, like, oh, you know, I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later. It's no big deal. You know, if I need to, I'll sleep on somebody's couch. But now the case is, oh, wait, I want to be able to provide for this, you know, family. You know, my dad wasn't around for a long time. So the case is, you know, I don't want to be that. You know, I want to, you know, my kids to look up to me. I want my wife to look up to me. I want my wife to stay with me. I mean, these are strong emotions where it's like, okay, putting to work and even having the conversation with her. I'm like, hey, you know what? I've been half-assing it for the last, you know, 6-7 years talking about I'm a speaker, but I wasn't putting the work in. I was like, give me 1 year to put the commitment in. I was like, if it doesn't work, I was like, I'll go find, quote, a real job. So the funny thing was, you asked what's the mentality was, I got hungry. I mean, and when we're hungry for something, we are focused. And the deal was, I wasn't hungry before.
Yeah, dude, man, you're preaching. And I love it. I think that is a key. And you talked about something else, just having focus, right? What keeps that fire going today? Now that you've kind of gotten yourself, you know, through the tougher time, what keeps you motivated to continue this journey?
Well, I mean, now the case is I know what pain feels like. So now I'm using that pain and, quote, that fear as a driving factor. And I love to share with people. I was like, don't let the fear hold you back. Let it drive you. So now the case is, like, you watch these speakers and people who write books and influencers that talk about tough times, but they've never gone through a tough time. And my father and I talked about, it's like, you really got to go through this tough time to have this motivation. So for me is, I never want to go back to that position where I got to put my family at risk. So waking up early to do a podcast with you, you know, making that extra phone call, that extra email. The reason I do it is I know what it's like to be going, okay, I got to ask the bill collector for a job. I mean, the bill collector's called me, like, hey, it's like, you know, you're behind on your bills. I'm like, well, I'm looking for work. And like, have you found any? Like, are you hiring? And so when you got to go, you know, do that piece. So I never want to be in that position again. So that's the driving factor, is using that fear or that pain from the past to make sure that I never go there again.
Man, that's powerful, bro. That is really powerful. So now that let me backtrack for the people that, you know, might be in those tough times, right? And I know you've dropped some knowledge, or they are on the brink of wanting to quit, you know, and I know that consistency and resiliency is something that it's a theme, right? And you have to have it. Is there any hints or tips that you could give people to stay focused and not turn back to comfort?
Yeah. I mean, let's go ahead and, like, you know, be honest right now. Like, I told people, you know, my last name is Kitchen. So I said, what I was hungry for was to have the speaking career. But I recognized, you know, think about it. My last name's Kitchen. We talk about cooking all the time when I'm doing speeches. And there's a time when we're hungry, we'll start cooking something. But when we lose focus, you know what? We burn it. We mess it up. Yeah. So my career early on, I was burning it. You know, the American ways become to blame or complain. We're either going to blame somebody else for what's going on in our lives, or we're going to complain about it. And the deal is, the person who controls us living our dreams, or, you know, transforming that vision to reality, looks us in the mirror every day, or in the selfie cam, whatever you want to call it. So I had to go back and realize it wasn't anybody else's fault while I was falling on my face. It was me. So the thing I want to share, the five things I learned that most people have issues with, are this. We create these mental barriers that become physical barriers. And the first one is, we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves why we can't do something. I came from a poor family background. My parents are divorced. You know, all the, well, the thing is, the mind is designed to keep us comfortable. It's designed to keep us from, you know, doing something that's hard or to get us hurt. So what we'll do is, we will self-justify why we can't do something to prevent ourselves from getting hurt. So we got to go look ourselves in the mirror and start going, well, what am I doing to cause the problem? So number one is, we will lie to ourselves. Number two is, we will try to be somebody else. I can't be Chad. Chad's got his own unique style. So I got to try to be the best version of me. So stop trying to be other people, what you see on TV, movies, magazines. What's the best version of you? I mean, so that's the piece there. So stop trying to be somebody else and stop trying to be perfect. I mean, nobody's been perfect. I mean, depending on what your religious beliefs are, I'm like, there's never been a perfect person, only been like one perfect person ever on this planet. So why are we trying to be perfect? We should be working to be our best.
Yes.
We got to stop caring about people. I mean, when I say caring about people, because people, like, they look at me, I was like, we got to stop caring about people who don't care about us.
Yes.
I mean, too many times I was valuing the opinions of people who didn't even care about me or know about me. Like, if I walk out the house right now, my wife goes, are you wearing that? I'm going to value her opinion because she wants me to be at my best. Okay, so she's telling me, if someone walks down the street, is like, I don't like what you're wearing, that's on them. I'm like, I don't know you. You may not like green. You may not like the fact that I got a shaved head. That's on you. I was like, so you got to care about the people who love you. So you've got mentors and people in your life who will share input and advice. And if people are sharing input and advice with you, they're not trying to control your life. they want something good for you. They care. So you should start worrying if people aren't giving you feedback and advice. Mm. And then the final, you know, two are, I talked about worrying. We start to worry about things that we can't control. And so I realized, you know what? I can't worry if people like me or don't like me, but what I got to worry about is, am I picking up the phone? Because I wasn't picking up the phone. I wasn't making the phone calls. I wasn't putting in the work because I was worried about what's happening on the other end. I'm like, you know what? Worry about what you can control. And then the final one is for everybody listening. It's like, we wait. And I share with people, like, I was like, wait means you wait for an idea to turn out. Nothing happens in life without action. You got to put action in. And even if you make mistakes, I mean, trust me, I know you got that military background. I mean, when you go to boot camp, you make a lot of mistakes before they let you out.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so the case is we got to take action towards it. I mean, so I tell people, I was like, I'm a 16-year success story. Technically, I guess a 50-year success story. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. We watch all these people like, oh, it's just going to happen that next moment. And the deal is now, I tell people, like, I never wait for anything. Now it's like, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my best punch. I'm like, I'm going to go talk to that person. I'm going to go reach out to that group. If they say no, so be it. I'll move on to the next step. But I never want to be in that spot where I'm waiting and I'm guessing and wondering, like, what if? So as we're listeners are listening right now, stop creating mental barriers for yourself. Okay. Put yourself around strong-willed people, strong-willed environments, learn from them. And every day just take a little step to get a little closer to what you want.
Dude, that was amazing. And five phenomenal ways to just overcome life, right? And stay focused on the dream. For those, and this will be, you know, for those that might not have been brought up in a good environment, right? And they don't know where to find that the good people, right? I talk a lot about our environment and our circle and who we allow. But I've also, in my coaching, I've experienced a lot of people that have asked me, well, I don't know where those people are, right? How do I find these good people that you're talking about or these strong-willed people? Do you have any advice on that end?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. We pull our phones out every day and we look at people that we look up to. I mean, I share with people, I was like, that's a cop-out when they say we can't find anybody. I mean, we are one click away from meeting somebody. I mean, you and I did not know each other. And what would you do? You sent me an invite through LinkedIn, goes, hey, can you be on my show? That was one click. And the thing was, if I would have said no, you would have moved on to the next person. But at least you made the action. So the thing is, if there's somebody that we look up to right now, you know, and if, like, let's say if there's social media influencers, reach out. It's like, hey, it's like, you know what? I look up to you, play up to their ego. I admire you. Would you have a time just to sit down and, you know, do some questions? I mean, you can do FaceTime, you can do Google, you can do, you know, Zoom. I mean, there's so many ways. But then the other one is, it's not even people who've got a title. Maybe there's a pastor in your church that you look up to. Maybe there's a teacher. Maybe there's, like, you know, for me, his name is Charlie, but he's like the neighbor on the street who just hung out with all the kids. And, you know, I didn't have a dad. So my mom's like always trying to find like a male figure. So we'd hang out with Charlie, and Charlie's the one to sit with me like out on the basketball court going, hey, Frank, you know what? Basketball may not be the thing for you. Focus on your school. But that was just a neighbor. But we always see somebody in our life where it looks like they've got it going on. Well, then reach out to that person and ask them, how's it, you know, really going in your life? How are you doing this? And they will share with you. I mean, the true people will share with you what is going on. I mean, anybody listening to this right now, if that's important enough to you, I'd say my email is fresh@frankkitchen.com. If you got a question, email me. I mean, I've literally been in rooms where I put up my cell phone number and my email from like 3,000 people, and only one person will reach out to me. I mean, it's not a case of talent. Because people think it's talent or skill. It's just, it's mindset. It's will. So I'll have people who like reach out and someone's like, wait, you know, I had one young lady, she wants to start a nonprofit. She's 17. She reached out. She goes, hey, I heard you say that. She goes, I want to be that one. We talked for 2 hours and I go, guess what? I was like, you're still the only person in that room of 1,000 people who has reached out to me.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. So, I mean, it's us holding ourselves back. So if we see somebody that looks like somebody we aspire to be like, reach out to them and contact them. And if they say no, then guess what? They're a phony. If they say yes, then guess what? They really value people and they want to help other people out.
Dude, yeah, I think you're spot on, my friend. You know, and yeah, we really do stop ourselves from, you know, greatness and from becoming the people that we can be and having the circles and the environments that we really want. So I definitely agree.
Yeah. Do you mind if I share one more story? Because like, it just popped in my head. So my mom is somebody who I look up to. And you know, it took me years to go and get my college degree. So I didn't graduate, you know, from college until my 30s. So people are surprised to hear that one. But at my college graduation, there was this congresswoman there. Her name is Stephanie Tubbs Jones. And my mom looked up to her because she saw her speak on TV and all this piece there. She goes, oh my God, there she is. That's who I want to go contact. I'm like, well, go talk to her. She goes, no, she won't want to talk to me. It's like, so now she's doing all this doubt. So this, my mom, this woman who I look up to is like showing this fear. I'm like, well, if you don't go up there and talk to her, it's like, I will. So she's like, okay. So she goes up to her. So Stephanie Tubbs Jones into this room with all these people. And they're all staring, doing the same thing. You're like, I don't want to bother. She'd been our keynote speaker. My mom goes and talks to her. And a few seconds later, my mom waves us over. So she waves me, my sister, my brother, some friends over. And we take this group shot. As soon as the group shot is done, you see everybody lining up because now they want a picture. And her security guard goes, hey, I'm sorry. She's got to go now. A few weeks later, she died of an aneurysm.
Wow.
So the thing was, my mom didn't take that moment right there to go and do, but everybody else who was waiting didn't get the chance to get the picture. And like I said, a few weeks later, she was dead.
Man.
So, I mean, so for all of us, that's what we have to think about is like, hey, there is no second chance many times. I mean, so if you see it and you want it, you got to go for it.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I tell people, to your point, you know, eventually we're going to be at our last breaths, right? And I hear a lot of people talk about what they should have done or what they could have done, what they didn't do. There's very few at those moments that are saying, I'm so happy I did, and I'm proud of, you know, whatever. And so, you know, there is no better. What is that ancient proverb, Chinese proverb? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The second best time is right now.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, and that's the case, is we just have to kind of go through, like I was watching with the kids, like, you know, it's like, I was thinking about, we were watching Black Panther the other night, just, or watching the clips and like the new trailer coming out. And the deal was, you know, my wife and I looked at him, we go, you know what, you look at Chadwick Boseman and you find out when he died that, you know, he had, you know, cancer. And the dude truly, like, that last couple of years lived his life to the fullest. I'm like, he took no excuse. When you find out, like, oh yeah, he'd been going through this for like the last several years, made all these movies, got nominated for Oscars and did all this while he was going through cancer. Like, he lived that last breath.
Yeah.
And he didn't wait. I mean, so for all of us, why are we waiting? I mean,
right.
It's right there waiting for us to grasp. And the deal is, you know, once again, it's like, it's that comfort zone. We want to push ourselves out of a comfort zone, but we'll look at somebody like you. They listen to your podcast and like, okay, well, wait a second. You know, he had these, you know, these car accidents. Okay. And then, you know, all of a sudden, like, his kids had these issues here, and like, oh man, I wish I could be like him. Guess what? You can be like Chad. Chad never said he's more talented than anybody. He just said, hey, you know what? I had no other choice. It's either do nothing or do something. So I'm going to do something.
Amen. Amen. You're right, man. Man, you're right. You're hitting nails on the head. And I think that we are our biggest enemy, man. I always tell people, look in the mirror, because that's the only person. You're the problem, but you're also the solution. You know, I follow, I don't know if you've heard of Bobby Castro, but I follow a lot of what he talks about. And he's big on that, you know, being the solution, because we're also the problem. And once we realize that everything starts and stops with us, man, there's no ends to what we can do.
Exactly. Because we're the one who choose the environments we choose to be in, the people we tend to put ourselves around. That's our choice. Because I'll hear people like, well, it's like, you know, my parents. Okay, well, yes, you had your parents, but guess what? You can still choose to find somebody to mentor you. You know, I had a student where, like, he's in like a really bad part of town. And he goes, Frank, I want to get better at school. He's like, but I got to order a computer. Can I have that sent to your apartment, send that to your office, so nobody would steal it? He found different ways to get around what his barriers were. So a lot of us spend too much time looking at what the barrier is versus trying to figure it out. And like, you and I, we're dads. I told him, I was like, you just got to think like a kid. I mean, I was like, I had my kids like, hey, dad, we want a playground. Like, I was like, we can't afford no backyard playground, you know? And they're going, I was like, well, we want it. They kept bugging me. And then all of a sudden, me and my father-in-law had to replace the toilet. And, you know, if anybody's replaced the toilet, it comes in a big, huge box. He broke out a knife, cut some windows in it, cut a door in. The box was in my living room for like 2 months. And that was the kid's playground.
Right.
Kids don't take no for an answer. That's why kids grow so much. Like, my mom was a preschool teacher. She goes, 80% of what we need to survive in life, we learn by the time we're four. So to think about it. So these kids are always learning and pushing the boundaries and trying to reach out. But when we become an adult, we start to overthink things. So I tell people, like, yeah, let's start thinking like kids. Kids will figure a way out. They do not take no for an answer. And as adults, we got to do the same thing.
No, you're right. You are so right, man, you're so right. So let me ask you this. You know, and one, I want to say that's awesome that you're up there in the speaking world, and you've been recognized for, you know, being one of the top guys in the world. That is amazing. What else do you have coming up down the pipe? Anything?
Well, I mean, down the pipe right now is just to take it to the next level. I mean, this is just like, quote, the first hurdle. And, you know, I told people I've been playing in, if you want to call it, the smaller pond. So now I want to go step up and be with the big boys. So I'm stepping out of the minor leagues now. I know I've got the major league talent, but now I want to jump up and get, you know, bigger stages, you know, touch, you know, more, you know, transform more lives. at the same point, you know, you see me in the backyard right now is, you know, quote, we're renting this house. I want to own a house. So that's the big goal there. So that requires more work, bigger paycheck. So the big deal is right now is there are things I want to be able to expose my family to, you know, travel around the world, meet different people, let my kids see, hey, guess what? You could be a business owner. Here's what's possible. So right now it's just a case of not to be happy with, okay, yeah, I'm one of less than 1,000 people to ever earn this designation. Okay. I could live off of that, you know, but that doesn't keep the lights on. That doesn't put food on the table. So right. The big piece now is just to take it to another level, of which one of the levels is, it's actually just got released on Amazon, but I've got a new book. It's called Fresh from the Kitchen. And awesome. It says, you know, 44 tasty techniques to cook up the professional dreams you hunger for. But it's just dreams, but I'm showing what I did to go from being fired to becoming this speaker. And I share 44 stories and techniques of what I use to create this mindset that I have now to figure out, like, hey, you know what? Let's see what's possible, what I can do versus, okay, I can't do that. That's not possible. So that's the big one there is I just want to transform more lives. You know, I want people to, you know, people see me, quote, looks like I'm on a high right now. I want other people to experience this high because it's possible for all of us. And I share with everybody, I was like, nothing is easy, but anything is possible with the right mindset.
That's right. That's right, man. And I love that you want to change people's lives. I'm always inspired by people that see that big picture and want to take their lives and invest it into other people's lives and ensure that they can, you know, like you said, have that smile and that energy that you're experiencing. I think that that's amazing, man.
I mean, my wife's an amazing person. Her name is Kelly. And she made this comment years ago. She goes, hey, Frank, she goes, why are we all playing King of the Mountain? Because, you know, the purpose of King of the Mountain is knock somebody off. Yeah. So she's like, everybody's always striving, but you know, she's like, how come we can't just pull everybody up to the top of the mountain? We all enjoy the view together. Mm. So, I mean, that's the deal. It's like, we're in this world, we're always just trying to knock somebody down, put people down. And some people, the only way for them to feel better is to knock somebody else down. So for me, when I'm working with groups and going, I'm like, well, hey, how come we can't all enjoy it together? I mean, there's a piece of the pie we can all share. I mean, let's have that neighborhood block party. Everybody come over. I'm like, I shouldn't just be in here, you know, watching, having fun myself. Hey, it's more fun when there's more than one. So let's bring everybody in.
Yeah, dude, I love it because I feel the same way. There's enough food for everyone to eat. There's enough room for everyone to be in the same vicinity, the same, you know, success area. So why not bring everybody that we can in on the party, right? Yep. So if people want to reach out to you and, you know, maybe get some coaching or listen to your next event, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. Best way to find me is to go to frankkitchen.com. So it's FRANK. And there's gonna be another K for the word kitchen. So frankkitchen.com. And when they jump on there, I mean, you'll find my blog. That's free information. You click on the media and video page, you'll see videos and media. That's all free. But then you'll see where it says coaching and courses, click on there. That's some stuff that you have to invest in yourself. And you'll see anything that says books. But I mean, just go to that website. You'll find everything. You can follow me on social media. Everything is at Frank Kitchen. And the idea is I'm always sharing something that's going to provide you with techniques or recipes to cook up the dreams you hunger for.
Man, I love it. I love it. All right. So you've dropped a lot of knowledge and a lot of gems. However, if you could leave this audience with one last thing, what do you think that would be?
All right. So here's the big deal I'm going to leave with the audience today is we have this point. We always hunger for something. So you got to think about it, you know, figuratively right now. If you're at the house right now, it's midnight, and you're hungry for something, you're not thinking about it, you're not talking about it, you're going to go cook it up. So whatever you want in life that you hunger for, okay, these are things that keep you awake at night in the good way. You're always thinking about it. Don't think about it. Don't talk about it. Cook it up. That means you got to live it and put in the work. So that's what I got to share with everybody. Stop thinking, stop talking, start living.
Man, I love it. Man, Frank, thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy life and, you know, imparting into my listeners and my life. And for the listeners, every single last one of you guys, it's not good enough to sit here and listen to two guys jaw jack for 30 minutes. You have to take action. You have to implement what Frank is talking about. So that way you can experience the life that he is referring to. You can have it too. Like he said, you want the meal, you have to take the action. You have to cook it up and create that meal for yourself. So get out there, do it, be hungry. And until next time, go kill it.